This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Figured that I'd open up that door. I don't know if it helps. It probably doesn't hurt any, does it?
Probably not.
All right. Jiggle the handle on your mic, Jake Miller. Jiggle the handle.
Sound better now?
Much better.
Sweet.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. Fan Run Radio 303 on your Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I were kidding. It is the hottest day of the year on record so far. It's right now 95 degrees outside the Fan Run studios with a heat index of 99.
Feels incredible.
Unless you're in the Fan Run studios with myself and Jake Miller, where the air conditioning went out this morning. Yes.
Warm in there, buddy?
It's a little toasty. It's a little toasty. I'm wearing shorts, gym shorts, and a t-shirt, which I never do, right? I'm always long pants. And
yeah,
I'm still
wear hoodies in there.
Yeah, I'm still it's hot, man. It is a thick, humid heat. So
hydrate.
The boys from Blue Water Climate Control are on it. They're getting a part, and hopefully soon. The air conditioning will be working. I look back at the temperature back there. I think it's over 90 degrees in here.
Feels that way.
Oh, man. Of course, right? I texted Chance earlier today when I found out this was the case, and he's on from 10 to noon, right? Chance Collins, the Blitz. And I said, is it hot AF in there? And he said, no, it's okay now. Like, it's getting warmer. He said, I'm not sure what it's going to be like at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I was like, yeah, I don't know. So I talked about, you know, my wife suggested that I stay home and do the show from home. I've got the equipment. I could do that. But that's not the kind of guy I am, Jake. I said, no, I love my team too much. To put them in the hot box while I'm lounging at home in the AC downstairs at Stately Smith Manor. I'll be in there sweating it out with Jake Miller. It's kind of love I have for you, Jake.
I appreciate that, man.
We're in this thing together. So, yeah, I mean, we're shorts and t-shirt right now. I mean, it might be strip poker in here. We might be in our underwear.
Oh, this shirt's coming soon. Off. There is no question. This shirt is coming off at some point.
You guys are stripping to the waist in there?
You do what you got to do, man. No judgment here. No judgment here. I mean, if you want to see this dad bod, my ET-like physique, it might make an appearance here in just a little bit. Thank God for the boys at Blue Water Climate Control. They're going to get us set up here, taken care of. And we're going to fight through it. I mean, do you think the boys over across the street on State Run would be doing their show with no AC in a 90-degree studio? No.
By no means.
You calling out Will West?
Do you think Howard Stern would do his show with no AC? No.
There would be reruns.
Here we are on a meaningless summer Thursday, no less, leaning into it for you. You better you better not take this for granted, Fan Run listener. Those of you in the 37 who tune in every single day wanting this, those of you, you better not take it for granted. Folks, thanks for all the happy birthday wishes yesterday. We had a great evening at Stately Smith Manor. I watched the wife and I watched The Big Lebowski for about the billionth time. Jake Miller's never seen it.
After the show and get my piece of birthday cake?
I think that's pretty much long gone at this point. My daughter was in there having a piece at 10:30 this morning. I'm like, what are you doing?
After old man.
She says, I'm getting some birthday cake. I said, have you had any real food today? She's like, yeah, I had some Eggos earlier. I said, that doesn't count. That's not real food. What are you doing? She said, oh, can I get you some? I said, no. It's 10:30 in the morning. What are you doing? Oh, man. The thing I love about The Lebowski Bear, it's one of those movies where you notice something new every time you watch it.
Mm-hmm. What'd you notice this time?
Well, I'd forgotten about the Dead Flowers cover at the end. The Rolling Stones. I'm not even sure who does it. I was like, hey, that's a song off Sticky Fingers. And the Nihilists and
Flea.
Yeah, Flea's in the Nihilists, and they're in that German like techno band that's, I guess, supposed to be a takeoff of Kraftwerk. Were you ever into that?
No.
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 So many catchphrases that are a part of our show come from that movie.
It's Townes Van Zandt.
That covered Dead Flowers?
Yeah. Yeah. It credits?
Mm-hmm.
Closing? Yeah, it's Townes Van Zandt. He's a nut.
Big show this afternoon. Hurricane Gabriel coming our way. Christopher Gabriel from Fresno will join coming up here in about 10 minutes on the show. Been waiting to get his thoughts on conference realignment. Boy, the Big 12 is big mad.
Oh, all I know is that the outer bands of Hurricane Gabriel have just now hit my phone. I'm looking forward to this. He's got some good stuff about this conference realignment coming up.
All right, looking forward to it, man. Absolutely looking forward to it. And then in hour number two, Barrett Salee, who we have not had on the show in a long time, is going to be up with us. So, big show this afternoon. Plenty of time for your phone calls as well. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, it is watch list season in college football. Congratulations to Velus Jones, Tennessee redshirt senior, named to the 2021 Paul Hornung Award watch list. Oh, excuse me, the 2021 Paul Hornung Award watch list presented by Texas Roadhouse.
Huh.
That was met with a resounding indifference. Shout out to Texas Roadhouse, too, man. It has been a long time since I patronized you. Those warm, delicious dinner rolls and the cinnamon butter. It's been too long. I got to get reacquainted with the Texas Roadhouse, man.
Cinnamon butter's garbage.
You're garbage. The hell out of here with Mama. That terrible take. Didn't we have a great debate about this like 2 months ago?
Yeah, and it made the list of...
Did it make the list?
Yeah, horrible things that I don't like.
Awesome things.
Peons that, love.
Let's see. Hold on. Should we have a reading of the list? I feel like it's been a while.
No.
How long is the list?
Cinnamon. It's getting long, dude. It's getting long.
We need a better music bed for it than that goofy... You can add that to the list. I hate the music.
The list of awesome things that Bear hates is on the list of awesome things that Bear hates. I hate that it took me until like a month or two to figure out that, you know, we needed to get that meta with it. Shout out Velus Jones, the Paul Hornung Award, given annually by the Louisville Sports Commission to the most versatile player in major college football, named for former Notre Dame quarterback Paul Hornung. Winner slash thief of the 1956 Heisman Trophy. This is rightfully the property of one Jonathan Majors. and number one pick in the 1957 NFL draft. Do you think that Velus Jones, I guess he is our kick returner, but that's almost like a lost art, man. Nobody returns kickoffs anymore.
Yeah, but I think that Velus Jones could be the biggest beneficiary of the new Josh Heupel offense.
Well, he should definitely get more targets.
If you can get him the ball in space, I mean, what little bit we saw of it in the Pruitt offense, he's explosive with the ball in his hands in the open field. So is he our go-to playmaker?
I don't know. I think that remains to be seen. I think Jalin Hyatt should have something to say about that. And I think
a nice balance on the field.
Yeah, I think we got some nice pieces out there. I think the transfer from Mississippi State, whose name I can never remember. I mean, he was one of the faster guys on that list that leaked out a while ago. Javonte Payton.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get the ball to him some. I think they've got some guys at receiver that are going to get some targets. But, yeah, even if – I mean, there's just going to be a lot more. There's going to be a lot more throwing, a lot more plays, period. And hopefully a lot more competence just in general on that side of the ball. Starting at the quarterback position, I mean, whoever they're throwing to will benefit the most from hopefully better quarterback play.
Wonder who the quarterback's going to be, Dubs.
That is the million-dollar question. And then Matthew Butler, Tennessee senior defensive lineman, one of 93 players named to the watch list for the 2021 Werfel Trophy today.
The Werfel Trophy?
I don't like either one of these trophies, man. Can we get some new honorees for him?
Werfel.
1996 Heisman winner Danny Werfel presented annually to recognize college football's top community servant. Matthew Butler enters his final season on Rocky Top as one of the Volunteers' unquestioned leaders on and off the field, according to utsports.com. He's been a productive player each of the past two seasons. He's also been excelling off the field, earning a spot on the SEC Academic Honor Roll four times, while also garnering COSIDA Academic All-District Honors in 2019. He's a smart guy. He's part of the Vol Leaders Academy during the 2018-2019 school year, a select group of Tennessee student-athletes that culminated their year-long leadership program with a service trip to Rwanda, where they participated in leadership and service opportunities focusing on community development. So, watch list season in full effect, and congratulations to Matthew Butler and Velus Jones. Who else do we have? Paxton Brooks was on the – was it the Ray Guy watch list or something? I think Jabari Small, running back, was on the – is it the Doak Campbell? Doak Walker?
Doak Walker.
What, yeah. What's Doak Campbell? That's Florida State Stadium, isn't
yes.
it? Doak is not a name you see very often anymore, particularly as a first name.
I'm going to name my kid that.
You ever known a guy named Doak?
No.
No. Grew up with a guy named Polk. Polk Klein.
Where does Danny Werfel rank on your list of all-time most hated Gators?
He's pretty high up there. I mean, I wouldn't put him as high as never liked Boring Doring. Who was the guy that dropped the N-bomb? He played for the Eagles.
Oh, Riley Cooper.
Riley Cooper. I mean, we go on and on about this from the 90s.
Tony George. You haven't named either. I have 1A, 1B, and I don't even think there's.
Eric Rett.
No.
Aaron Hernandez.
No. I hate these guys even worse than Hernandez, and he was a psycho killer. Number one, Shane Matthews.
Oh, we dogged him.
The first year in 1990 we did. Didn't go well the next year. And then his lookalike has got to be a long-lost cousin, Doug Johnson. Two of the most punchable faces in the history of American sport, Shane Matthews and Doug Johnson. The thing I hated about Werfel is the thing you hate about Tebow, is that I mean, they're so super Christian. It just, like, they've never done anything wrong. They make you feel bad for hating them. At least with, like, Alabama players. Like, McCarron, you knew he was kind of a, like, redneck trash kid from the sticks out there. David Palmer was always getting in trouble.
Calling people trash now?
Call them like you see them.
Like, Tebow and Werfel, every time you see them, there's a halo above their head and angels singing in the background. Oh, Tebow. There's, like, people just – he's levitating in front of the microphone. You're like, I can't hate this guy. He just beat my brains out 35 to nothing. And he's talking about circumcising the children in Indonesia or whatever he did. You don't remember that? Jake's looking at me like I'm crazy. That was Tebow, right?
I don't remember this.
Born in the Philippines or
something. The Philippines. Yeah, he did a mission trip, and he was, like, personally circumcising all the little Filipino kids.
Ugh.
It's dirty work. It's got to be done.
I hated him.
These people are third world country.
Another piece of Florida garbage.
Who, Tebow?
Yeah. I don't buy all that bull crap he used to put out.
Are you calling him a fake?
You got that right.
You calling him a phony? A fraud?
Yep.
You think he drinks? You think he fornicates?
I think he fornicated. I don't know about drinking.
Isn't there a picture of a drunk Tim Tebow going around?
No.
I don't know. Very one of the most punchable faces all time. Although I wouldn't do it myself because he does happen to be, what, like 6'4 and about 260?
No, he's the kind of guy you'd punch him in the face and it wouldn't even faze him. And he would just smile at you and say, God bless you. God bless you.
Now you punch Aaron Hernandez in the face back in the day, you're probably going to get lit up with a 9. I don't know. Eric Rett, though, I really disliked him. He wanted a piece of me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you're probably glad you didn't get one.
From him?
Yeah.
He'd have never caught me. Can you imagine trying to run up
SEC running back, you surely outrun him. Yeah, for sure.
Well, with his, you know, 2-inch plastic spikes on his cleats, he's going to try and run on concrete. He wasn't catching me. I'm like a 60-yard head there, a 50-yard head start on him. It mattered in hell, though. I'll tell you, that Midland ice they used to put in the Cokes at Neyland, those flat river rock-looking pieces of ice you used to get, they were delicious. But, man, you could hum those if you threw them at players.
We got to take
a quick break.
That's
why they flipped the teams, Russ.
Just turn his mic down, and he'll keep ranting. He won't even know that we've gone. Christopher Gabriel coming up next, live from Fresno on a scorching hot Thursday afternoon on The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
If you own a business or have a website...
Not the shirt's off for Jake Miller. If I didn't know any better from my vantage point, it looks like we've got the naked producer. Which, I mean, so I guess you could just go ahead and do that, Jake. I mean, I wouldn't know over here. It's not like I see everything on your side of the booth. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio from a sweltering, suffocating Fan Run Studio, Russell and Jake cruising along with you on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Let's bring in our first guest today. You know him well. He is Christopher Gabriel, making his presence felt today on the show, the CGP, live from Fresno. What's up, Christopher?
Well, first of all, anytime you want to bring me in with Led Zeppelin, I'm good. I mean, that's the way to go. John Bonham, I mean, nobody better as far as I'm concerned.
We call that a tone setter. Great entrance music this afternoon. Chris, I got to tell you, man, it is if I nod off during the middle of an interview, it is, don't take it personal. We have a air conditioning situation here in the Fan Run Studios. The hottest day of the year on record so far here in Knoxville. It's 97 degrees outside and inside. So It's a little toasty in here. What's it like in your neck of the woods?
Well, let me give you a frame of reference. And you know, listen, if you nod off, I've been a host for 16 years. I've had people nod off. I've had producers nod off during my program. So, it, you know, I'm good with that. You know, we're all good friends here. Here in Fresno, the weather, the meteorologist on our program in the morning, 6 to 9 weekdays here on KMJ, is Kimberly Colliner. And she will say things like this. Today it's going to be much more tolerable. Your high here in Fresno will only be 103.
Oh!
Who the hell is she kidding? I mean, you know, apparently out here, if it's not 115, that's considered tolerable. I'm from Chicago. I'm used to feeling like an egg noodle when it's 75 degrees, but the humidity is about 95. So right now, I will give you the exact temperature here. Right now, the current temperature here in Fresno, California, at 12:25. It is 94. It is going up to 103 today. But fellas, dry heat.
Yeah, yeah. It's still heat.
Come on, who cares?
It's still heat. We're making our way through it. I tell you what's heating up is college football season. Christopher, it's been, I feel, too long, 2 weeks or so since we've talked, and it has been the last week or so, just the wildest week we've had in college football in a long time. I know you've got thoughts, buddy. I'm just going to turn you loose here. Let it rip. What do you think about all this expansion stuff?
I love it. I have to say, and going back to last year, you and I talked, and when Trey was there, we all talked about this. This was coming. This was coming for a long time, and I think that COVID set this in motion even much more expeditiously. Every athletic director and college president, and I've talked to about 15 or so across the country, P5 conferences, conference teams, as well as a group of five, every single individual I've spoken to, the one question that I've asked of all of them is will your business model change? And every one of them said yes. And part of that has been we're going to see reconfiguring of conferences. You knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. But what I never imagined, fellas, I never imagined saying the sentence, Oklahoma and Texas are going to the SEC. Never saw that coming. So to that end, I spoke today to a very good friend, senior beat writer for the Oklahomans, been covering the Oklahoma Sooners for about 25 years, Ryan Aber. And I asked him right off the top, how long has this been in the works, and was this a coordinated effort? He did not hesitate. It was a fully coordinated effort, and this was something, ready for this, they've been talking about for a year. And the fact that Texas A&M came out and said, well, you know, we're not really sure about it. Come on. Listen, we know that they want to run scared from the University of Texas, but this benefits them. This is going to benefit the entire SEC. Can you imagine conference games in Knoxville with the Oklahoma Sooners coming in, the Texas Longhorns coming in? I think the bigger issue, though, here is going forward, something that I've said on your show, Russ, and I've said it on mine over the last year or so, take one school, just one school, to essentially open the floodgates for more movement to happen. And this is just the beginning. Is it going to be widespread? I don't know. Are we going to see one, maybe two conferences end up getting absorbed? Well, we know what's been going on with the American and how the American wanted to try to pick off the rest of the conference schools in the Big 12. And then you have the Pac-12 out here. A lot of discussion with USC and UCLA and Oregon, those three in particular. And the rumor that has been floating around, and you've seen it, has been, might USC, UCLA, and Oregon, might they consider a move to the Big Ten? And at first, that seems utterly absurd. Is it any more absurd than thinking about Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC? I don't think, my gut tells me it's not going to happen, but here's the key. Oklahoma and Texas, they were looking for their financial futures, not only in terms of solidifying their financial footing going forward, but they wanted to be in the best competitive situation possible. There isn't any college sports fan right now that thinks of the Big 12. They haven't been the Big 12 for a long time. Nobody thinks of them as an elite-level conference when you go top to bottom. Hardly. So that's one thing that USC, UCLA, Oregon, maybe some others are looking at. And will the Pac-10 still be viable? Here's how I see, let's play devil's advocate. Here's how I see it making sense for those schools. And I mean, as you know, I went to USC. It makes sense in one big area, and that is primetime opportunities. Every school out here in the Pac-12 and the Mountain West complains, and we all understand it out here, that they don't get the primetime opportunities because, you know, we are three time zones behind out here. But if they are suddenly matched up with a Michigan, an Ohio State, a Penn State, and so on, suddenly you have primetime opportunities in the central and eastern time zones, and those could be game changers. That's one thing to think about. Then you have Mountain West schools, and you have the good folks up in...
Oh, we have lost Christopher Gabriel. Hey, tell you what, when we get him back, can ask him, I don't know if there's something going on with his phone where it's cutting out. And I mean, it's good. It's good. Don't get me wrong. That was good stuff. But like it could be, it'd be a little bit better. It'd be a little bit better. That's what we're doing. We're always striving there. So we'll work to get Christopher back here with us this afternoon on the show. Is that him? All right. Christopher, are you back with us?
I am. I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that. Not really sure. But what I was going to just conclude in this part of it is Boise State is the school, their fans, let's remember, they're Boise State. They're not Florida State. They're not Ohio State. They have these grand illusions, really more like delusions, that everybody's going to want to pick them up. The only thing they are really viable and interesting in is football. All the rest are forgettable. So to maybe wrap this into a big package, I think we're going to see more movement. I think we're going to, you know, I'm sure the SEC is done. The Big Ten is not going to sit by idly. The ACC can't sit by idly. And what's going to happen with Notre Dame? Notre Dame still going to basically sit atop Mount Pompous and say, we're fine in the ACC. And as far as football goes, we don't need anybody. But listen, even with this moving to 12 teams with the college football playoff, Notre Dame stands a listen, I don't give a rat's you know what about Notre Dame, but Notre Dame stands a much better chance going forward if they would get their behinds into a conference. The days of them, well, you know, we're Notre Dame and we've got the Golden Dome and we're just later for that. It's time that they join a conference, Russ.
Oh, I totally feel you on that one. The California schools to the Big Ten stuff is really interesting, and I agree with you. I mean, 10 years ago it might have seemed ludicrous. This world we're entering into, Christopher, I don't know if it's that ludicrous anymore. And from the Big Ten specifically, I mean, I think that would be a masterstroke by them because everybody's talking about, oh, do they pick up Kansas? Do they pick up Iowa State? And, you know, Kansas basketball brings you something. Iowa State football is good as long as Matt Campbell's there. But thinking big picture, long term, if you could add USC, Stanford, UCLA – to that mix, then all of a sudden, you know, provided those programs can get their act together on the field, then all of a sudden you've got some name power in there. You've got something that stacks up to what the SEC is building a lot better than if you just kind of sift through the remnants of whatever's left from the Big 12 moving forward.
Well, Russ, you're absolutely spot on with that. Let's talk about what you just said. Iowa State, Kansas, Oklahoma State, yeah, we're happy for all of them. You're talking about brands here, and even though they haven't been marquee, USC is a significant brand, as is UCLA. And oh, by the way, they're in television and radio market number two.
Sure.
You mentioned Stanford. Stanford and Cal. Stanford has a tremendous athletic department. Cal, not quite as strong, but they're in San Francisco, the San Francisco Bay Area. That's market four. We're talking TV money. We're talking about four powerhouse academic institutions, and the Big Ten has always made that a major bullet point. Anybody they bring in the conference, they want to be strong academically. And listen, academically, they can match up with anybody, top to bottom. Those are all outstanding schools. But yeah, it's about brands. And when you look at, with all due respect to the good folks in Ames and Lawrence and Stillwater, yeah, that's fine. They've got nice facilities and Allen Fieldhouse and all that. That's very nice. But they do not carry the equity that a UCLA and a USC or a Stanford or a Cal, and certainly an Oregon. And for anybody who is, and I've seen this on social media, as I'm sure you have, folks saying, well, I don't know about the travel. That's going to be a lot of money. Do these folks understand how much money these schools have? Money is not going to be a problem ever for USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Cal, and certainly not Oregon, not with Phil Knight walking around up there. So it would be an interesting move. I think they're at a minimum, they're going to explore it. And you and I were texting along with Bear. And I think if there's one group of individuals that probably just don't want this to happen, it's the guys that walk around in white coats with badminton rackets in the Tournament of Roses committee. Because these guys want football to be remain still in 1965. You'll remember for the BCS championship game when that got off the ground, who was trying to stand in the way? They were. They were trying to stand in the way. They wanted nothing to do with it. Finally, some folks talked some sense into them.
Talking with Christopher Gabriel here this afternoon on the show. And Chris, what do you think the SEC should do moving forward, assuming that they're going to stamp pat with these 16 teams going forward? And I don't think any of us think that Texas and OU are going to be in the Big 12 for another 3 or 4 years. I think this is probably going to happen pretty quickly. What do you think the league should do in terms of scheduling, in terms of setup? Do you like two eight-team divisions? Do you go to a pod system? What say you?
Yeah, I thought a lot about this, and I'm not a fan of the pod idea of the four divisions. I really like the idea of two eight-team divisions. I think that's going to build a much deeper, more nuanced level of rivalries. When you have 4-team pods, I think you're going to lose a little bit of that. I think you're also going to run the risk in scheduling of being able to manage traditional rivalries. And what I'm thinking here is whatever they decide to do, they better keep Alabama and Tennessee. They better keep Florida and Georgia. You know, rivalries like that, LSU, Ole Miss, they better keep those. And really, let's be honest here, right? I care about Tennessee. That's the one that I care about more than the others. It's conceivable to me, fellas, that and Alabama would move to the east. I mean, I could see that happening. We could come up with all kinds of different ideas. Ultimately, they've got to make it. They've got to try to find a way to have competitive equity. I don't know how they're going to do that, because let's just say hypothetically, just for argument's sake, Alabama and Auburn came to the east. So you have Alabama and Auburn, you have Florida, Georgia, the Vols, and then you've got a west of Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, LSU. Any way you slice it, somebody is not going to be happy. I mean, no matter what goes on, Vanderbilt's not going to be happy. Whoever they're with, they're not going to be happy, because they're just going to be losing to everybody. But I don't know. If they do a four by four, Russ, what are they going to do? Are they going to have a conference semifinal and then a conference final, or are they going to just take the two best division leaders? I mean, what is the talk down there? What is your sense about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard from a lot of people who think that it's interesting. There's so many moving parts here, right, Chris? I mean, it's hard to even wrap your mind around. But there's some thought that right now you pump the brakes on the 12-team playoff expansion, because none of the other conferences that were negotiating with Sankey while they were coming up with this plan had any idea that the SEC was going to stuff Texas and Oklahoma in their back pocket. So I think you got to go back to the drawing board on that. And if you were to go to, say, a 16-team playoff, at that point, would you just get rid of the conference championship games and just fold everything into a 16-team playoff? I mean, that's been bandied about. I don't know. I don't think they know yet. I think they're just – everybody's eyes are blinded by the dollar signs. Everybody's trying to get theirs. The SEC is just figuring out, how can we get Texas and Oklahoma started in this thing? And we'll worry about the scheduling and the championship game and all that stuff later.
Yeah. And you said something a moment ago that I completely agree with. I don't – this 2025, it's going to be 3 years. Nah, I'm not seeing that at all. I think this is going to happen, like you said. I think it's going to happen sooner. Listen, Russ, I'm okay with if the championship game goes away. If the championship games go away and the trade-off is we go to a bigger playoff, I'm all for that. I've told you before, and I'm not sure if you've ever had Bill Hancock on the drive,
yes,
the executive director. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a smart guy. But, with all due respect to Mr. Hancock, the first time he came on with me, he was trying to tell me, you know, well, there's really nobody that I've talked to is interested in the bigger playoffs. Like, Mr. Hancock, who are you talking to? Because you're not talking to the same P5 people that I'm talking to. I think that when they expand this playoff, whatever, however they do it and whenever they do it, they have to think big, Russ. They, you know, the 4-team playoff, I think it was great that we got a playoff, but it needed to be bigger right off the bat. At a minimum, I really felt that it should have been 8. The 12-team playoff, that's great. I think 16 would be fine. This whole notion, you and I have talked about this so many times, this whole notion of, yeah, but you know what? Those teams that are 12 through 16, they're never going to have a chance to win. Well, you know what? In the NCAA, in the men's basketball tournament, teams 58 through 64 or 68, including the play-in teams, they don't have a chance to win either. That's not why you expand it. You expand it for the possibility of an upset and to engage more fans and more teams. This idea that broadening the playoff cheapens the regular season, no, it does 180 degrees opposite. It engages more teams, more players, more coaches, more fans, and the networks, knowing that you've got a shot to get to the playoff. You broaden it and you engage people for a longer period of time, as opposed to now when you lose a game in September and unless your name is Alabama or Clemson, you're out.
He is Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Christopher, last thing, we'll let you run here. The Olympics. Now, how do you watch that out there in California? Do you just stay up and watch it live while the rest of us here on the East Coast are asleep? Or are you watching primetime Olympic coverage as well?
I'm watching it. I'm watching it pretty much every way that I can. I have to get to bed a little bit earlier, but then if there's a big event on, I'll watch it. The time zone thing here. It's I think it's 16 hours here from the West Coast. I've certainly been on it. We were on that story this morning. With SUNY Lee from St. Paul, Minnesota. She's going to be going to Auburn. What a remarkable story. You know, the Simone Biles thing, that was massive, and then United States and women's gymnastics for a fifth straight Summer Olympics. A United States lady steps up and just, you know, goes out and beats the girl from Brazil, Andrade, and beats, I forget her name, Kalinikova, Angelina as her first name, from the Russian, what are they calling themselves this year, the Russian Olympic Committee. Remarkable story. I mean, she's now become America's sweetheart in one event. But I'm sure you guys have talked about the Simone Biles thing. I'm of two minds. Let me explain what I'm saying here. I'm fully supporting her on this. I'm completely supportive of her. I have too many friends who are clinical psychologists. We've had them on my program forever talking about mental health. Mental health is health. And for anybody who is sitting in the cave saying that she quit on her team, they forget that she's competed with a kidney stone. She's competed with broken toes. This young lady has fought through everything, but if you saw her face, and I know you did, on that vault, and they closed in, they zeroed in on a still shot of her eyes, she had a look on her face that I've never seen in her competing before. That's one thing. The other part of this is, I'd be lying to you if I said, you know, at first I didn't understand, because the way I was raised and when I was raised, man, if we were bleeding, if nothing short of our arms or legs hanging off, we were going back out there and competing. But this is a different era. Mental health, the advances in mental health and the understanding on where mental health and sports intertwine, where the spheres intersect, it's a whole different ballgame. And I think that what she did was she preserved herself, her safety. I think that's number one. That had to be number one for her. And number two, she did give her team a chance to win a medal. What she said was, listen, I'm not being selfish here. I'm thinking about everybody, and I'm going to be a detriment. I applaud what she did, Russ, and I know a lot of folks don't. A lot of folks are, you know, left or right calling her a quitter, and everybody, this is an issue that's not going to get consensus. But where I stand on this, I completely support what she did.
Yeah, the one thing it just all reinforces to me, Christopher, is that I know absolutely nothing about gymnastics or most of these sports for that matter. I'm watching the synchronized diving. Like, oh, yeah, that guy looked pretty good. They give him a terrible score. I can't tell the difference. And then we have to come on and act like experts. This is hard on a sports radio host. What about my mental health?
You know, I am deeply concerned about your mental health.
As you should be.
And, boy, You are right about that. I mean, I'll be watching these, you know, the floor routine, and you'll hear somebody go, oh boy, that's a point deduction. It's like, what the hell happened? What did she do? Yeah, I'm with you there, man.
Oh, man, as long as they land without a broken limb, I say that's success, but what do I know?
Yeah.
Christopher, great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff, as always, my friend. Check him out. He is Christopher Gabriel. Go follow him on Twitter, folks, at CG Program. And, of course, you can listen to him on the morning's KMJ Fresno. Christopher, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for jumping on.
Much respect to you. Love that you bring me on the show. And greetings to everybody in beautiful East Tennessee, one of my favorite places in this country. And can I just say one thing here? We're going to try to make it happen where, since you have graciously invited me, for me to come out there for a Vols home game, and maybe I will get the opportunity to join you for a show.
Please, man. I know a lot of your fans here are looking forward to it. We'll find a good place to go out there and do a live show, let folks come out and see you, and a couple of cold cervezas, and have a good time.
I am down for that. You guys have yourself a great Thursday and a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you. Christopher Gabriel, making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline. We got to take a quick timeout right here. The drive continues. Open up the phones, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
The Axe House in Sevierville. All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Bear, we have a new set of issues as we work through this air conditioning crisis here at Fan Run Central.
What's the problem now?
Well, the legendary Fan Run producer chair that is just somehow holding on.
Did it bite the dust?
No, it. Well.
Oh, it's going to stink when you come back.
What's the problem?
Well, it's been near 90 degrees for a good 4 or 5 hours now in here, and between Cam Black and Jake Miller's booty sweat.
Ugh.
It's evidently.
When I come back, I'll be coming back with a new chair.
Soaked through.
Yeah, I'm coming back with a new chair. I've been researching. And if the other producers can't take care of it, it'll be removed every day.
Oh, Wait, I feel it. Cold air. Is that cold air coming through?
I don't know, but I see pit sweat.
Yeah, I'm a mess. Okay, thank you, mister. I've got my shirt off right now. You got to point out my sweaty mess over here.
As I play a bumper called Talk Dirty to Me.
Can't tell if that's cold air or not. All right. The boys at Blue Water are working on it. We're going to get this thing done. We're going to get this thing fixed. We're going to work through it. Your thoughts on Christopher Gabriel this afternoon, Bear?
I mean, it's incredible. Usually when Chris comes on, I go back. Like, I'll go back tonight and I'll listen to it a couple of times because there's so much good information and takes that he has. The one thing I would have asked him is if they go a step further and go to these super conferences, it really wouldn't surprise me if Greg Gangster Sankey goes after USC, UCLA, and Oregon. I mean, what a coup that would be to add those three brands to
it. If Sankey goes after Oregon?
Oregon, UCLA, and USC, the three premier brands in the Pac-12.
I don't want it. I mean, I see why he would do that. It's just, when is it enough?
Well, I mean, if they're going to, I mean – like I keep saying, man, I don't like it either. I wish that we could go back to the original conferences, but if we're going down this road and this is a road we're on, then I'm all about us doing what's best for us.
Well, here's what we talk about, this pod system, right?
Right.
And at what point does it just become 140 or so team conference, league, whatever you want to call it, in four pods?
It'd be the NFL.
It's the NFL with the Southeastern League, the North League, the Midwest League, and whatever it ends up being. Because at that point, if you're talking about adding Oregon and some California schools to the SEC, I mean, it's not the SEC anymore. I don't know if this is the SEC anymore. And listen, man,
I don't think it is.
Christopher's fired up about it. You're fired up about it. We can agree to disagree here, man. I'm not going to stop watching. I'm still excited about it. I realize this is the way it's been going, but I just, man,
it's like the great George Harrison said, Russell, all things must pass.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Jake? Oregon, USC, in the SEC, is that where we're headed?
I mean, since geography doesn't matter anymore, I wouldn't say it's completely out, but like Bear said, it's not even the Southeastern Conference anymore. We had a caller, I think last week, that was like, well, when does it become the Southeastern Super League? And I think that's kind of what we're headed to.
I mean, it's not even going to be the Southeastern. I mean, it's just the Super League. I mean, I don't like it any more than you guys do, but I mean, it is what it is.
At some point, we let this this cartel, and Slive and Sankey, they're both New Yorkers, went to Ivy League schools, lawyers, and we turned it over to them. We turned it over to these guys, and I mean, this is what we signed up for, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's not what we signed up for, but it's what's happening. It's what's happening.
Do you see where ESPN responded to the Big 12 cease and desist letter?
They gave the – I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Freedom of the press.
Barrett Salee.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, Barrett Salee from CBS Sports is coming up next. And I'd be interested to get his – he can speak freely on this. Now, he doesn't work for the worldwide leader. And I don't know. Are we buying the SEC's position that, hey – we didn't seek this out. We didn't want this. This just fell into our lap. What are we supposed to do? Tell Texas and Oklahoma no? Or do you think this has been orchestrated by the folks up in Bristol all along? Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
The Drive.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue.